films are fine, just the way they are. Other films sometimes take it way too far. But really, how bad could it get? Let's go beyond the box set.
Welcome, everybody, to Beyond the Box Set, where today we're going to review Dune.
Mm-hmm.
We finally got to it.
The long-awaited Dune, yes.
When was this movie announced? Like a million years ago?
Good 4 or 5 years ago, I think. Like, it was a long time. I don't think it ever got officially pushed back, did it? I think it was always supposed to come out around now.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, I'm certainly been a lot of hype around it. And obviously with coronavirus, there was like, will it, won't it? And then will it make enough money to get a sequel? And it has, and it's all very exciting. It's the new big sci-fi franchise.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
It is exactly what I expected.
Exactly what you expected, yeah.
Exactly what I expected.
A good or a bad way or both?
Kind of both.
Okay.
So it's long.
Yes, it's certainly long.
Just,
well, not horrendous. Is it 2.5 hours, 2 hours 40?
It's 2.5 hours, yeah.
By modern blockbuster standards, that's about average.
Yeah, it's fairly normal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's long. It is detailed, and the first half of it is almost exclusively exposition.
True, yeah.
Which I was heavily expecting, because I've spoken to somebody about the books before now, before watching this film, and they were just like, oh yeah, let me talk to you about the shields they've got. And then they just went and just had to do like a whole half-hour explanation on how these shields work. I'm like, why is this so important? And I watched the film, and I'm like, okay, I can kind of see why everything just needs explanation.
Yeah. I don't know why films are so afraid of doing the Star Wars crawl. It's such a good way of just saving exposition.
Yeah, but it's...
Is it just two Star Wars?
Well, no. Yes. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes.
Okay.
It wouldn't have worked so much on this, because the things that need exposition are much...
More like, how does this work?
Yeah. It's like, oh, this weird shield thing or something. Like... The fact that there's an emperor and there's loads of houses, and, you know, we follow House Atreides or whatever.
Atreides, yeah.
Atreides, whatever. You pick up on that fairly easily.
Sure.
That doesn't really need explaining, and that's the sort of thing that would get explained in a crawl.
True. My biggest complaint of the movie was that I didn't understand what the villain's motivation was at all.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
because I didn't really get it either.
I couldn't get my head around it. So they owned this whole film is set on this planet, Arrakis, which is this desert planet that is very inhospitable, but has all this super valuable mineral material called spice.
Yeah, you're right. That could have gone on an opening crawl.
Yeah, which the universe needs apparently for travel, maybe? Space travel?
In an offhand comment, someone said it powers the ships.
It powers the ships, fine. So it's the most important... It's a very valuable mineral in the galaxy. Fine, I can pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
So
why is it called spice, though?
I know, it seems like...
Because, like, are they just low on coriander?
Everything else had such, like, high fluting names that it's just, like, spice.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. It's in the book. But, so, the Harkonnens, who are the evil empire people, they ran the planet, and they were, like, crushing the Fremens, who are the, like, people who live on the planet. They're crushing them underfoot and, like, taking advantage of them and killing them all or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they decide to leave the planet, and then they give the planet to the Atreides family, which is Timothy Chalamet, Oscar Isaac, and Rebecca Ferguson.
Okay, so I've had this explained to me as well from a different source. And apparently, so there is an emperor that was mentioned throughout the film.
Is that the guy who's played by Stellan Skarsgård, or is he just like...
Turns out, no.
Okay, that's just an underling.
Yeah, so I thought it was. But no.
So he's just the Darth Vader, and we're going to get to Palpatine in the sequel, presumably.
Yeah. What do you call him? Palpatine?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
What do you mean?
What do you always mispronounce literally everything?
Oh, is it Palpatine?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
They say it like a million times.
I've not watched Star Wars in a while, whatever.
Wow.
Okay.
God. To be fair, you're more about the original trilogy, not so much about the prequels.
Exactly, yeah.
Prequels are where I grew up. Yeah, so there's an emperor, and there are multiple houses, and I guess they all, like, work for him or something, I don't know.
Sure.
And for whatever reason, he pitched these two houses against each other.
The Harkonnens and the Atreides.
Sure. So that's the Stellan Skarsgård-led house of bald, ugly people.
Yeah.
Against the
far more attractive house.
Oscar Isaac house of, like, hot men with beards.
Yeah. Yeah,
the hotties. It's true, though, isn't it?
It's the hotties versus the notties, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I guess he wanted them to wipe each other out or something like that.
Oh, okay. See, I did not get that at all.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I just thought the Harkonnens randomly gave up this super valuable planet and then immediately changed their minds and took it back in. I was like, why?
Yeah.
Why all this effort? Why not just stay there if that's what you're going to do anyway? Mm-hmm. Didn't understand that at all. Yeah, that did not come across to me. Yeah. That could have been done in a scroll, mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, so that was a problem for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, go on anyway. So yes, I agree. It is a little slow.
Yeah, it is slow and convoluted. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the thing that I did not expect about this, which luckily they sort of brief you on at the very start of the movie, this is a part one.
Yeah, it's part one of two, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that because there's been so much hype about whether it's going to get a sequel or not.
Well, I know that it's from a full franchise of books.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, lots of books.
But also, these books are famously considered unfilmable.
But, yeah, I really didn't expect... this to just be a part one of the first book.
Yeah.
So presumably there'll be a part two and hopefully not a part three and four of just book one.
Oh, no. I think they've very definitively split the book Dune into two and they're like, right. If we can get through this, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
And obviously if it became like this mega franchise, you know, Lord of the Rings style, they would milk it mm-hmm. dry. I don't think that's going to happen.
I think this needs to start making lots and lots of money. It needs to be like,
well, it hasn't.
Marvel levels of profit. Yeah. I mean, you could argue that that's COVID related.
Yeah, no, it's hard to judge because A, COVID, mm. and B, also like it got a simultaneous release on some TV channel that I'm sure they paid through the nose for.
HBO Max,
that's it. Yeah. So you know, it is hard to.
Company.
Yeah, so you can't really compare it just box office for box office for a lot of reasons. I understand that completely. It's obviously made enough that they have. They've greenlit a second one, which I'm glad for. I do wonder if the second one will be noticeably cheaper because they've not started filming yet. And the film hasn't cracked 100 million at the American box office yet. So it's not bombed. It's still ticking around, but it's done okay. It's done just well enough, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly going to be running at a pretty heavy loss. And so it'd be a shame if the next one was just like, oh God, there's no budget anymore. They're just like, we'll do it, but cut all the special effects budgets out. You know, one location.
Well, what I was saying is that it needs to make lots of money, not just this one, but like the franchise. So because that Denis Villeneuve, the director of this, has said that like, yeah, he's probably going to do a few, but he just doesn't see how the later ones are filmable at all.
Yeah, like and if I'm, this I'm, is the most commercial one.
Yeah, yeah. and I'm thinking like, okay, that is tough, but like everything is filmable if the budget is big enough.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, if these start getting, you know, $500 million budgets, then...
I don't see that happening.
Well, we'll have to see how the next one does.
We'll see how the next one does. I've heard that the second half is more exciting, so maybe people will like, and hopefully in 3 or 4 years when it comes out, hopefully coronavirus won't be around anymore, please God. and, you know, maybe the cinema will be more, you know, maybe, yeah, I can see how the second one could... If they just really decide to just put all their faith into it and make a really good second half, and you know, and just forget about the loss that they're going to suffer in the short term, then maybe it could still pull it back.
Or they might try and write it to sort of conclude, because I'm sure the first book does come to a conclusion. I imagine it leaves some things open.
Oh sure, yeah.
But I'm sure it comes to a vague conclusion. So I imagine that with the second one, they'll be like, okay, we'll make this, but like that might just be it.
Yeah, sure. But I think that's always been. On the cards because like I said, it's famously always been a difficult thing to get off the ground. So I don't think anyone was really thinking, oh, this is definitely going to run for 8 films. You know, I think they were like, let's get these two. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, because it is based on a book, I'm hopeful that the second one will have a fairly definitive, if still open conclusion. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be like, oh God, that's really unsatisfying because they've just written something. You know, when a sitcom gets cancelled, it's like, oh no, they've had to pull all the strings to make it this the last episode that they weren't expecting kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like that.
Because, listeners, this one was, the end of it is very, very underwhelming.
It's quite abrupt. I was thinking about this since we watched it, because I agree, it really does feel like what it is, which is like they cut the book square in half, and this just happened to be where the middle page was kind of thing. But it is, if you think of the Fellowship of the Ring, that also kind of ends on a very similar note, where it's just like, there's a fight, not a particularly massive one in the first film.
True. Yeah.
And then they kind of go their separate ways. And that's kind of what happens here. There's a fight. And then Paul Atreides, he meets Zendaya for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then he decides to stay with her. And then, so it's not a dissimilar kind of cliffhanger ending. But I just think the difference is that The Lord of the Rings, I think, got that balance much better of kind of exposition versus entertainment. Whereas I think this really struggled to have that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it to be a Marvel-style jokes.
Quippy
jokes,
everywhere.
Jokes. Yeah, yeah, not at all.
Lord of the Rings got the balance perfect.
It really did. Because
it makes it so quotable. Well, what about Second Breakfast?
Yeah, exactly. It's got characters who, you know... Frodo's not a big barrel of laughs, but you know,
he's not.
But the supporting characters aren't jokes either, but they've got layers of humanity, including humor. Mm. Like, Sam's not a joke character, but he's funny. Mm. Merry and Pippin are close to being joke characters, but they're still not like quippy joke characters.
And even then, they still get their moments. Where they're really not joke characters.
Exactly, they get humanity. Yeah. And yeah, this film. What I liked about this film was that it did feel like a proper old school. Hard sci-fi that wasn't trying to be funny and was just creating a whole world, and I loved all that, but I did also miss a little bit of just light and shade, because everyone in this film was so super serial the whole time. Everything was just humorless and very important, and
apart from
good old Jason Momoa, they killed, spoiler alert, which is such a shame, because he was such the Han Solo of this.
He really was. So, I don't know, I hope there's some sort of a way that they can bring him back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems pretty cool. I mean, we pretty definitively saw him die, but
yeah,
maybe,
but like Timothy Chalamet was seeing visions.
True.
Of you know, multiple things, including him being still alive, like in a different situation that we hadn't seen him in yet.
True.
So, I don't know, maybe there's something.
I really hope so. He's by far I was just like clinging onto him, like charisma. Not that Timothy Chalamet isn't charismatic, and Oscar Isaac is charismatic, but they were just being so serial.
Yeah.
So I just had to like cling to Jason Momoa. I was like, oh, you've got kind of a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was really upset when he died.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what they do with that. I know there are more characters that they're going to bring in, because the character that Sting played in the original, he's not in this yet.
Oh, okay, he's in the second half. Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I've never seen,
though. I think he's over with the bald, ugly people.
Oh, he's a villain.
Yeah, so I'm not got a lot of hope for that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get Sting back.
Just bring Sting back in his loincloth. Yeah, he's still got it. But yeah, you know, because I've never read the books and I've never seen the David Lynch film, or apart from I've watched some clips of the end credits, which were just like. People, actors in ludicrous 80s facial prosthetics with stupid names that look like they've just dropped a Scrabble board on the floor and like, just, oh, that'll do.
Yeah.
But, which obviously carried over to this a lot. But so I have no real context beyond what I've already seen. Mm. So,
how did this look though?
I think it looked amazing.
It was visually fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm so pleased to see a film. I mean, Denis Villeneuve, this is what he does really well. Like Blade Runner 2049, also not the most fun film I've ever watched in my life, but looked amazing. Mm-hmm. And this looked, and Arrival on a much comparatively lower budget managed to look really good too. So I think he's just a great visual director. And that kind of kept me going, the fact that it was, and considering the whole film was set on a desert planet, it's quite hard to make that look visually interesting, but I think they did a really good job.
They absolutely did, yeah.
Yeah, no, it looked absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
And which was one of the many reasons I was very pleased to see it in the cinema, even though it wasn't like the most edge of your seat film you'll ever watch. I think if I'd watched this at home, it would have been much less entertaining.
Oh, I would probably have turned it off.
Yeah, I don't think we would have got through it. So yeah, it's a cinema experience for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it looked fantastic, and I think this is gonna sweep the technicals at the Oscars.
Oh, I hope so. That would give it a bit of a boost for the sequel as well. Yeah, I can see that. Hopefully, yeah. Sound design, the sound, it sounded really good. It looked really good, and
the music I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, had a great score. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely gonna. It's going to get loads of nominations, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know about how many wins it gets. We'll have to see what the competition is.
Sure, yeah. But yeah, I would like to see it do well, because that's kind of what it's going for. It's like going for like a serious sci-fi, which, you know, you don't get many of. So
absolutely. Cool, is that all?
I don't know, really. Yeah, what do you think of the performances? So Chalamet, you're not his biggest fan. How do you think of
it? I was on board, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him in this.
Yeah, I thought he did very well, because he's not. You don't need him to be fun. He is the Frodo, you know. And I think he definitely has like movie star charisma, and he did it really well. I thought I enjoyed seeing all the character actors, like, you know.
I liked how everybody was somebody.
Everybody was so, yeah, exactly. Like, oh look, it's Stellan Skarsgård. Oh, yeah. It's who else was there?
Dave Bautista,
Javier Bardem, and Dave Bautista.
I didn't know Javier Bardem was in this.
He was the friend.
I recognized him. I mean, I didn't know going in.
Yeah, it was a surprise to you.
He was in it, and he came in, and I was like. Is that Javier Bardem? It could be.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. It looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed all of that. I thought it was a very strong cast.
Dave Bautista was fun with both of his lines.
Oh, he had two lines. Yeah, I'm assuming he gets more in the next one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oscar Isaac, he was good.
He was good, yeah. He sadly didn't make it out of the film.
No.
But he had a great naked death scene. That was fun. Just,
yeah.
just sprawled out naked with his penis just covered by something. <yeah. laughs>
Yeah. And who was the mum again? Was it Rebecca?
Rebecca Ferguson. Yeah. Yeah.
Who, she was all right.
Yeah. She was good. I thought. She. I imagine we'll have more to do in the next one as well.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah. They never really explained who she was or what she did.
Well, she's part of this. She's married to Oscar Isaac. She's Lady Atreides, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she's also a member of this weird cult of like space nuns who right. only are only supposed to have daughters. And she's gone against the rules and had a son. Mm-hmm. And then the son, and who is Timothée Chalamet. And then so all the other nuns think this son might be the new Jesus of this, like the Messiah figure, right. basically. So, yeah, that's her story. And then when her and Paul Atreides escape, she also reveals that she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And they can also do that weird talky thing where they just go. Yeah. It's very like Obi-Wan Kenobi, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah,
if they say it with enough conviction, people will do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point that they go like, even further and have like the bad guys just like stab themselves in the eye. Like, mm-hmm. so they really take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So there's a whole lot of Jedi style powers that maybe we'll get a bit more of a glimpse of into in the next one. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Biggest, shock, surprise, letdown.
Letdown. That's
the
okay,
one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zendaya.
Well, she's not really in it. No. Although yeah. she's in it a lot, but also not because she's just a flashback.
Where are you?
Yeah, Zen, where'd she go? Yeah. Well, she's just clearly again, she's going to be in the next one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah,
she's in the trailer so much and she's like second build or something like that. And so I was expecting.
Well, I guess they need to get the
way
kids
more
in.
Of her. I get it. But I was just expecting more because that's what the trailers told me. There was going to be more Zendaya.
There's loads of scenes where Timothée Chalamet is having visions of her and it's just her like looking into the camera with her piercing green eyes. Mm. And then we get to it's like, oh, hi, Zendaya. Credits. Yeah. Literally, it's like, we found you. Credits. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it ends so weird. So, like, they meet Zendaya, mm-hmm. and then he has a knife fight with somebody.
Yeah, one of the other Fremen. Yeah.
Yeah, who I just didn't understand why they were having a knife fight, because I was like, are you guys not joining the same side?
I think they're, like, this tribal group. The Fremen are this tribe of people who, like, are very, like, warlike, and the only way to get respect from them is to win a battle to the death kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I understand that.
Yeah.
What you've said, but really, what's the point? Because there's not a lot of you. Mm-hmm. You could probably all work together, and it would work really well.
So, it's just how they operate. It's how Fremen do. Fremen got a Fremen, Harry.
That's why they're losing.
Yeah. Well, yes.
They keep killing each other.
Yeah. I mean, I will say if you are
nobody was even arguing or disagreeing.
No, true. No, yeah, exactly. I will say if you are watching this movie and you are finding it a little dull, I can recommend a good drinking game to perk you up. Mm. Every time someone says Arrakis, Atreides or Fremen, take a drink.
Yeah.
And you will be merry by the end.
Yep.
Yeah. Because those words, there's so much nonsense words. Just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah.
Especially Fremen.
So it gets to this knife fight and I'm like, God, this film's been going on quite a while.
I kind of lost all sense of time, like, though.
We've still not had the third act yet. We've not had the climax. Like, that's going to be like at least another 45 minutes, surely. Like, there's been some brilliant action scenes of like a very big scale action, mm-hmm. and it's just a knife fight here. That means that we're not in the third act just yet. Like, we're not closing just yet. Mm-hmm. So that's probably another 45 minutes, and then like the music's swelling, and they're walking away into the distance. The sun's setting, and I'm like, this is not looking good. But also, I'm really thankful because I really want to leave.
Yeah.
I've been here for ages.
Yeah, so it's weird. It wasn't like it was super dragged for me. When it got to, I felt like I'd been watching it for a very long time.
Yeah.
But then when it got to that end point, if you told me, oh, there's another hour of this, I would have been like, oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of quite slow. It was slow in a way that like, it was slow, but not like actively boring. So like 2.5 hours passed and it was like, oh, not much has actually happened. So. Mm. Maybe there's like another hour to go and I've only been in here for 90 minutes and I've just lost track. But then, oh no, it has been 2.5 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it kind of was both at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, like, I'm not looking forward to the next one, but I think I will watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have to see because I'll be looking out for a 3-year-old by that point.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what the world throws at us in the interim. But no, I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm tentatively excited. I think my favorite was we went for a quick pint after we saw this, and one of the bar staff, the lady working by the bar, had also seen the film recently, and she was telling us about her experience and how after she saw it, her boyfriend or whatever said, oh, what did you think? And she said, oh, I really liked it. And then she said to us, and then I thought for a moment, and I said, no, wait, no, I didn't. I'm just saying I did because it feels like the right thing to say. And I can see what she means. Like, it's one of those films where you can go, that was objectively really good.
Yeah.
Did I enjoy it though? Or do I just think I enjoyed it? Like,
yeah.
So it is. It's. I don't know what the answer is. We'll
What did she describe it as? A stressful day at the beach.
Yeah, yeah. She called it a stressful day at the beach.
Stressful, windy day at the beach.
Which, yeah, a great little pithy review there. But
yeah.
Yeah. I'll decide after the next one. I'm definitely in for the next one. So
yeah.
They've got my money. We'll see.
So this one out of 10?
I'll give this a promising 7.5.
Yeah, I was thinking a 7 as well. But yeah. I might go down to a 6, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because it is just that kind of thing. Like, yeah, this was really good. I didn't enjoy this. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Because I think I didn't enjoy it.
Mm. I think I enjoyed it more than you. Mm. But I still didn't love it.
It stuck with me. I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, that's always a good sign.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to go with 6.
Okay, well, I'm sticking to my 7.5.
Okay. Well, yeah. Cool. Right, well, thanks everybody for listening. Yeah. Thank you for subscribing.
And we'll see you next week with something else. Bye.
Bye. Let's go beyond the box set.